Pianist John O'Connor once played John Field Nocturnes in a Cleveland shopping mall on a promotional tour. We'll get to know him better coming up. A few months back, Mendelssohn's Octet was performed by two world-class quartets in the old St. John's Cathedral in Sligo. We'll take you there, and we'll meet Mihalo Sulivan. He's a man who plays the piano
like a pint of Guinness fell into it.
From PRI, Public Radio International, this is Sounds Irish, a production of Minnesota Public Radio and Lyric FM, Ireland's national classical music and arts radio station. Music in Ireland and the people who make it, all coming up on our St. Patrick's Day celebration. I'm Tom Cran. Stay with me.
Sounds Irish is supported by Ireland.com, your link to Ireland for tracing your family's roots, history, culture, arts and entertainment, as well as tourist information and global St. Patrick's Day events. All about Ireland at www.ireland.com.
Sometimes you never know where you're going to find music here in Ireland. We're walking on Cruises Street outside of Amon's, the family butcher, and O'Connell's Bakery there. Walking down, sometimes you hear music coming out of the shops like Sports 2000 here, all right? There's standard stuff coming out. And then other times, you never know what you're going to hear. There's an accordion player who plays around here usually at lunchtime. Sometimes there's a harper. She's wonderful. And today, Dean has come in from County Kerry. He's playing the fiddle for the people as they go about their lunchtime duties here, whatever they're doing, running errands here in Limerick on Cruises Street.
Thank you.
the overture to a work that evokes the joy of a wedding and the sorrow of emigration, a work dedicated to the people of Inishere, one of the Aran Islands. Charlie Lennon's Island Wedding, scored for orchestra and traditional Irish ensemble, and we heard fiddler Frankie Gavin and the RTE Concert Orchestra, Punchius O'Din conducting. He and the versatile RTE Concert Orchestra just celebrated 21 seasons together. As their name suggests, they're an ensemble who perform in studio for RTE, Ireland's national broadcaster, and on stage, too, in a wide range of repertoire ranging from symphonies to what we'd call pops in America. This is Sounds Irish. I'm Tom Cran.
Radio Éireann. Tonight's orchestral concert, which is being given by the Radio Éireann Symphony Orchestra, leader Renzo Marcani, is being conducted by the young Irish conductor Emer O'Brien. Emer O'Brien has been studying conducting for some years at the Paris Conservatoire, where he won first prize in this year's class for foreign students. This is the first concert in which he has directed the Radio Éireann Symphony Orchestra. The program, which consists of works by Beethoven and Debussy, begins with Beethoven's overture Coriolanus, Opus 62.
The sound of the Symphony Orchestra from a 1957 broadcast. And when you hear anyone over here refer to the Symphony Orchestra, they're most likely talking about the National Symphony Orchestra of Ireland, to call it by the official name, the name it's been known by for the last decade. The National Symphony celebrated its Golden Jubilee in 98. Jean Martinon conducted the first performance of the Radio Éireann Symphony on Valentine's Day, 1948. But the orchestra can trace its lineage back even further, to the 1920s as Cleary's Instrumental Trio, performing for the early days of 2RN, as the Dublin station was originally known. In 1964, television became part of the orchestra's duties, and its name, too, as the T in RTE Symphony Orchestra signifies. But its role has hardly been confined to strictly broadcasting. By whatever name, the Symphony Orchestra plays a vital role in Ireland's cultural life, whether in the opera pit at the prestigious Wexford Festival, or on stage at its home, the National Concert Hall in Dublin, touring around Ireland, Europe, or even Hong Kong recently, or recording Bruckner for Naxos, or a series of Irish composers for Marco Polo. And, it being the National Symphony, it's called upon to perform at official functions from time to time. So given its roots as a radio orchestra, it was especially fitting that the National Symphony Orchestra of Ireland performed at the opening gala concert on May 1st of last year for Lyric FM, Ireland's new classical music radio network. From that concert, Alexander Anisimov, who's been principal conductor of the orchestra since 1998, conducts them in the Ruslan and Ludmila Overture by Glinka.
National Symphony Orchestra of Ireland. Principal conductor Alexander Anisimov on the podium for a performance of the Ruslan and Ludmila Overture by Mikhail Glinka. That was recorded live at the University Concert Hall, Limerick. It was a gala concert broadcast live as well on May 1st, 1999 to celebrate the opening of a new national classical music and arts radio service in Ireland, Lyric FM, who, along with Minnesota Public Radio, bring you Sounds Irish.
I was with the right music on the wrong instrument, or the wrong music on the right instrument, but there was a mismatch.
You probably don't think of the piano when you think of traditional Irish folk music, or trad as you hear it called here. But that's just one of the things that Mihal O'Sullivan is known for, adapting traditional tunes, recomposing them really for the piano. He's also a tireless educator, an organizer, an administrator, and a writer on music, as well as a writer of music. We're going to hear some of that music in a few minutes. First, though, a conversation with the engaging Dr. O'Sullivan, and it can take many twists and turns, enjoyable though they may be. I first realized that when I had him on as a guest on the radio and noticed that we'd gone a long time without any music. No one ever seems to mind when that happens, though. Mihal O'Sullivan and I began this time with his work as the director of the Irish World Music Center.
The Irish World Music Center is a postgraduate research and teaching center based at the University of Limerick on the banks of the River Shannon, which I set up, not the River Shannon, but the Irish World Music Center, which I set up in 1994 when I came to the University of Limerick and as the first recipient of the chair of music there. It's about the space between the two words, Irish and world, and what that means. It's about mediating Irish cultural expression in a global space. So what sometimes academics call cultural globalization. I mean, we all know there's a globalization process going on, and that's frightening for a lot of us because it's, it challenges our identities, and we feel the whole kind of ethnicity or who we are as a group, as a community, as a race, all of this kind of stuff begins to get challenged, it begins to get chipped away, and it begins to flow into a kind of, if you think of the globe as a notion, and you think of the individual ethnicities or identities as rivers, in a way. So the rivers are inevitably heading into the estuaries and into the ocean of sound, in the case of music, of course, which is a part of culture. And music is a wonderful, fingerprint of a culture. So what happens then when these sonic fingerprints, if you put them, our sonic soul prints in a way, from many, 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 many different traditions begin to mingle and nudge against one another and kind of say, hello, who are you? Would you like to talk to me? Can we hold hands? And some forms of music reject one another and some kind of like one another. So they sort of, they get into bed together and things happen.
Is it fair to say that that you have tried to synthesize a tradition, a composed art music, let's call it classical music tradition, with the traditional Irish music?
I'm much more a musician at the crossroads. I inherit a popular music culture, I inherit an Irish traditional music culture, and I inherit a classical music culture. Now, the one I resonate deepest with is Irish traditional music, which I didn't grow up with, by the way. You know, I grew up in a provincial town in Ireland, Clonmel, which was originally a garrison town, so it didn't have, like, indigenous tradition strong. In fact, on the contrary, it had a brass and reed band, it had a choral society, do you know that type of thing? Mm-hmm. And by the time I hit 17, 18, I started to discover, like a lot of people of my age at that stage in the mid to late 60s, my own tradition. It was a kind of a roots experience, right? And I really fell into it. It was like fast forward. And I suddenly realized I was listening to something that was already, in a sense, inside me. Now, that sounds very romantic, you know, doesn't it? You know that somehow. But I think it's true that genetically something of that sound had carried within me, and it was like it being unlocked. So then classical music, to me, was exotic and foreign. And it still, to some degree, is. And it's for that reason that it fascinates me. Classical music, for me, is the exotic music on the planet. It's not Indian, it's not African, it's not Westclare fiddling. It's what these very, very strange musicians do who like to use their eyes while they're playing. Very strange thing to do. They actually read these dots on the page, and they interact in the most fascinating way with it. So classical music is a minority ethnic music. People don't think of it as ethnic music, but it is ethnic music because it has the ethnos of the cultures it comes from.
How would you say that Ireland responds to that tradition? How has it been accepted here?
Well, with some difficulty, you see, Tom, because the classical tradition came in on a colonial wave, you see, so it's associated with colonization. And the same thing applies to the States. I remember I was living in Boston for a period in, I think it was 1990, setting up the Irish music program, Boston College, good old Irish-American university run by the Jesuits. But I used to turn over to public radio, you know, and I was fascinated by a few things, like how European people tried to sound, for example. To be quite blunt about it, I could hear post-colonial residues. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's important to recognize it. And really what my feeling about it is that the minute you identify it, you begin a process of allowing people, a wider spectrum of people, to take ownership of it, you know? And I think that's what's happening in Ireland with Western classical music.
Your own piano playing once, I'd love you to tell the story again about how a Scottish reviewer described your piano playing.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's a reviewer, and again, it was a good review, said that I played the piano like a pint of Guinness fell into it. But basically, for me, the piano, of course, is not an instrument in Irish tradition, and yet it was the instrument I learned classical music on, and jazz, and whatever else I play. And then when I became interested in Irish traditional music, I found that really, even though I do play a number of traditional instruments, I don't play them well enough. I'm not comfortable with them in the same way as with the piano, which was my first love.
You know your way around it.
Exactly, as they say, with your eyes closed, you know, and you can't catch up on that. So, again, I was with the right music on the wrong instrument, or the wrong music on the right instrument, but there was a mismatch. And any sensible person would have closed the piano lid and gone off and learned the pipes, but not being sensible, I forced the issue in a way. And so over a period of time, I seemed to evolve a way of playing traditional music on the keyboard. Now, what's different from classical music here is that I would never write it down. The writing it down was absolutely irrelevant because, in fact, it would slow you up and would slow the whole process. So subsequently, when I started playing with classical bands, professional bands like the Irish Chamber Orchestra, in order to score them into the music, I had to sit down and write down my own music.
The intriguing title that reminded me of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Right.
Must be more crispy.
Well, I'll tell you, this is an interesting one. The reason I picked it is it isn't at all typical of my music, but it's also unusual in that it was written with somebody else, a colleague of mine, Mel Mercier. He's an Irish baron player, which is an Irish frame drum in Irish tradition. And Mel had been studying in CalArts in California, very, very fine institute of higher education for music performance. And he'd been studying various world percussion traditions, one of them being the tabla. And a friend of his, North Indian classical tabla, used to take the bus across town, a two-hour journey, to go to this guru. And he'd play his tabla for this guru, you see, and the man would sit there quietly. And the poor student, having worked really hard all month, the only thing he'd get off your man was, he'd say, "Oh yes, very, very nice, but must be more crispy." So you have to put his tablet back in the case, go back, come back a month later. Same thing would happen again. So it became a kind of a joke. Mel and I put together this piece. It started as a rhythmic composition based on South Indian drum syllables. So the actual thing, as you hear it starting up, ta-tiri-ki-ta-da, ta-ka-tiri-ki-ta-da, ta-ka-ta-ka-tiri-ki-ta-da, ta-ka-tiri-ki-ta-da, ta-ka-tiri-ki-ta-da, ta-ka-ta-ka-tiri-ki-ta-da. It goes da-da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-dum. So it's actually based on these. And it's an exercise in rhythmic concentration. It's very easy to make a mistake in this thing.
pianist and composer Micheál O'Sullivan playing with the Irish Chamber Orchestra. That's the provocatively titled Must Be More Crispy. The piece is a very good example of the musical work of a man who's always looking for the musical connections, whether between cultures, in his compositions, or his work as director of the Irish World Music Center. I also came across his work on a tape I bought for the car. A friend of mine recommended an album by the amazing Liam O'Flynn, who's Ireland's foremost virtuosi of the illan, or literally elbow pipes. I threw it on in a drive through picturesque West Clare, and again through even more picturesque Kerry. The dramatic landscape, the lush green hills, the ever-changing light and the mists, this one track seemed just like a specially composed soundtrack for that landscape, and I kept listening to it over and over. It's Micheál's haunting arrangement of an old Irish tune.
This is a piece which was commissioned by the Irish Chamber Orchestra for an Irish piper called Liam O'Flynn, and there was a television program being made on Liam, and they wanted this piece out. So I selected an air that he had in his repertoire. It's an 18th century love song called Ban Dubh Glanna, the Dark Woman from the Glen. It's a very haunting air. It's a song of unrequited love. And the text begins, I'll just say the opening two lines in Irish, Tá bóga mera shliar vis táim le shal na dír o chailasa me chíal an ochar. And it opens, the scene opens with the lovesick man on the shoulders of a mountain, herding his cattle. And he starts like that, you know, I have cattle on the mountain and my love is lost. And it goes on from there. So because a lot of these love songs were pastoral, they happen in the open air. You know, the liaisons and the meetings are happening in sheep sheds and things like this. And it's full of fresh air and green grass and smells and the wind in people's hair and things like this. So as well as the strings of the Irish Chamber Orchestra, I put in a pair of French horns as well, try and get a certain kind of a mood actually in it. So that's Ban Dubh Glanna.
Ban Dubh Glanna, or The Dark Woman of the Glen, a pastoral air of unrequited love from the Munster province of Ireland. It takes on a lovely pastoral quality when arranged for pipes and chamber orchestra with horns by composer Micheál O'Sullivan. We heard him conduct the Irish Chamber Orchestra with illan piper Liam O'Flynn.
And of course Liam is such a wonderful, wonderful piper. It was interesting getting him to fit with the orchestra, you know, because again he's not really a music reader. So I was conducting the piece myself, and so there were a lot of kind of strange hand movements going on to slow up notes and bring them on and all this kind of thing, you know.
Hi everybody, my name is Lorcan Murray and I present the Lunchtime Show on Nationwide Lyric FM each and every day, and I would just like to wish you all a very happy St. Patrick's Day, or as we say here in Ireland, Lá Éile Fádraig Iad Galair. You're listening to Sounds Irish from PRI Public Radio International.